Now you'll find a reading this morning in the book of Revelation, and we're at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, and we're reading some verses at the beginning of the chapter. Chapter 19, reading at verse 1 through to number 6. And it says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. The book of Revelation is a book that we very rarely turn to or read, apart from a few verses at the beginning of the book and the end of the book. First chapter is the introduction. Then chapter 2 and 3, you have the seven letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And then in chapter 4 and 5, you have John taken up to heaven, where he sees the Lamb in the midst of the throne and all those around the throne worshipping the Lamb. And then at the end of the book, in the last few chapters, you have the great picture given to us of the New Jerusalem, which is our eternal home. And oftentimes the scriptures at the end of the book are referred to or read at a funeral service or such like. The chapters in between, in the middle, are very largely ignored, simply because they're sometimes hard and difficult to understand, and also because the commentators are divided about the true interpretation of those chapters. And I'm not going to try to explain them to you this morning. I'm not going to do that. But there's no reason why we shouldn't read the book, because we're promised here at the very beginning in chapter 1 and verse 3, we're promised a blessing. It says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." So feel free to read it and enjoy it, because it is indeed a great book, although there's places which are very, very difficult. The portion that I've read this morning, I'm glad to say, everybody would agree, as we come to the beginning of chapter 19, that the scene set before us here is in heaven. And everybody's agreed about it, because that's exactly what it says. It says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying." So we see that these are the people in heaven, the redeemed of the Lord, and they're singing and they're rejoicing in the Lord. We find here in these first few verses the praises of heaven. And the reason for the praise is because it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And of course, a marriage is a time of great praise and rejoicing. One of the most famous works in classical music is Handel's Messiah. I would say that Handel's Messiah is a masterpiece in music. I'm sure that maybe some of you have gone to hear it. I've been a few times, and it's very interesting just to sit and listen to the choir singing the different pieces and identify the portions of Scripture that have been put to music, because that's what Handel's Messiah it's all about. It's about Scripture being put to music. And one of the most famous pieces in Handel's Messiah is the Hallelujah Chorus. And many years ago, when Queen Victoria was on the throne, she was invited to Handel's Messiah in one of the great music halls in London. And when she came, those that were organizing it said to the Queen, they said, "You know, Your Majesty, when the choir sings that Hallelujah Chorus, everybody in the auditorium stand, because that's the custom. And that is always the custom, and still is the custom today. If you go to see or hear Handel's Messiah, when it comes to the Hallelujah Chorus, everybody in the audience stands to their feet." And they said to her, "Because you're the Queen and you're our sovereign, it's quite acceptable if you want to keep seated while the rest stand." And so when it came to the point where the choir sang the Hallelujah Chorus, all in the auditorium stood to their feet. And Queen Victoria stood to their feet. The sovereign stood along with her subjects as they sang that great chorus of praise unto the Lord. And that's what this word Hallelujah is. It's an exclamation of praise. My dear friends, here in these words, we have the Hallelujah Chorus in heaven, because we find in these verses that we've read here, in verse 1 and verse 3 and verse 4 and verse 6, we have this exclamation of praise. These were the praises of the saints in heaven. We see the praises of heaven. And then we see here the performances of the Lord, because as they praise the Lord for salvation and glory and honor and power, it says, "For true and righteous are his judgments." And now they're praising the Lord because true and righteous are his judgments. My dear friends, we can praise the Lord this morning because we know this, that everything that God does is righteous. We might not be always able to understand everything that God does or how he works. We may not always understand it, but we know this, that the judge of all the earth, he shall do right. We can praise the Lord for his judgments, the praises of heaven and the performances of the Lord. And then in verse 6, we have this proclamation of the multitude. It says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And that's the little text that I want to leave with you this morning. This is the little text that the Lord has laid upon my heart for the meeting this morning. Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. When we look at this text, the word omnipotent, it just simply means all powerful and almighty. And the text is bringing before us the Lord God omnipotent, because that's what God is. He is omnipotent. He is the one who is all-powerful and almighty. And we see his omnipotence in many different ways. We see his omnipotence in creation. Now, at the very beginning of your Bible, remember how the Bible begins? "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." I know there's other books that we read, and they talk about evolution, and they give different theories of how this universe came into being, and you have the Big Bang and all the rest of it. But the Bible talks about creation. And dear friends, as we look above us and we see, my, the vastness of space and the wonder of the universe and the precision timing and the multitudes of millions of stars above, and we look around us and we see the wonder of nature and the beauty of it all. Remember that He created it. There's a Creator who made all these things by the word of His power. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And remember this, no matter what the scientists may say or claim to know, we have a Creator this morning, a faithful Creator who made all things. My, in Hebrews we read, and Thou, Lord, hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thy hands. We see His omnipotence in creation. We see His omnipotence in revelation, in the revelation of the Word of God. My, it's revealed to us, my, when God brought Israel out of Egypt and across the Red Sea, we see that He was all-powerful and almighty. We see His omnipotence as the walls of Jericho fell and as the lions in the den, their mouths were shut. We see His omnipotence in creation, in revelation. We see it in ministration. Remember that the one who created all things and who made all things came into this world in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He, while He was here on earth, revealed His mighty power. See it in the cleansing of the leper, in the calming of the storm, when He commanded the waves to lie down and the wind to cease. See it in the raising of Lazarus from the dead. One could go on this morning. We see His omnipotence. Dear friends, our God is almighty. He's all powerful. He's the Lord God omnipotent. The Lord God omnipotent. But there's another little word here. It says the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That word reigneth means royal power or sovereign rule. And so the meaning of the text is this. The Lord God omnipotent, the one who is almighty and all-powerful, reigneth. He's in sovereign rule over all. He's in sovereign control. My dear friends, I wonder, can you get the hold of that this morning? Do you accept this great text that the Lord God omnipotent, the one who is all-powerful and almighty, is in sovereign control? Well, you know, if we could get the hold of that into our heart, my, it would be a source of great strength. I'm sure we all know this morning, without me telling us, that we know not what a day brings forth. Life is uncertain. We don't know what the future holds. But we do know that the Lord God omnipotent is in sovereign control. He's over all. He's in control. We look at the world in which we live. We see the financial world in turmoil. People looking at the stock market to see if it's going to move this way or that way. Living on their nerves because they're afraid of losing everything. We look not only at that, we look, my dear friends, at the governmental world. We look at our own country. And there's so many areas of life today when it seems that man and governments has lost control. But the sovereign Lord, who is all power, is on the throne today. He's in control. While men and organizations and governments might be out of control, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He reigneth. Man, whatever our situation or circumstance, we can take courage that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let me say three things quickly about it. Lord God omnipotent reigneth in the storms of life. You know, the storms of life are a reality we all must face. Nobody ever gets a free ride. Nobody ever gets a free run through life without a problem or a difficulty. Do you remember God speaking through Isaiah to his people in Isaiah 43? And he spoke to them first of all and said how that he created them and how he formed them and how he had redeemed them and he had called them by their name and how they were his. And then he said this to them, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. He says, you know, you're going to have to pass through the waters and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou passest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Remember the Apostle Paul in that great storm that we read about in Exodus chapter 27. And you know, friends, Paul was on his way as a prisoner to Rome to be brought before Caesar. And in that chapter, in verse 13, it tells us that the south wind blew softly. Everything was going well. The breezes from the south were coming up, and the warmth of them was felt, and the south wind blew softly. But in the very next verse it says, but not long after there rose a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And we read on in that chapter how that the boat was in jeopardy and it was tossed to and fro. And they did all sorts of things to try to save the ship. But all hope was given up and it was felt that the ship would be lost. And then out of the midst of them, it says that after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst and said, sirs, there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. And he says, I believed God. I believed God. And you see, friends, in the midst of the storm, the apostle got this assurance that God was going to bring him through the storm. And my God was going to bring him out of the storm. And he grasped this great truth that the Lord God omnipotent was in control. And how like life that is. Sometimes the south wind blows softly. Everything's good at school. Everything's good at work. Everything's good in the home. Everything's good in her health. Everything's good in her body. Everything's going well. Then, friends, changes can happen so quickly. A phone call, a ring at the door, doctor's appointment, something unexpected takes place, and our whole world is turned upside down. You know, when the storm is raging like it was when the Apostle Paul traveled to Rome, it's then we need to realize that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, that he's in control and that he's always there because he loves his children and cares for them. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth in the storms of life. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth in the sufferings of life. Just as we don't get through life without going through the storm, neither do we get through without having to experience sufferings. My, there's so many different kinds of suffering. My, there's physical suffering. People, and they'll have pain for the rest of their life. They have arthritis and other things. And there's physical suffering. and there's emotional suffering and social suffering and material suffering and evangelical suffering. There's those who are suffering today for the gospel. They're in prison because they're a Christian. There's so many kinds of suffering. People ask at times, what's it all about? Why do people have to go through these things? I think one of the greatest stories about suffering in the Bible is the story of Job. Job was a good man. Job was a godly man, a holy man, a man who loved the Lord. Job was a successful businessman. He had many flocks and herds, camels and oxen and asses. God had blessed him with a big family, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And then things began to go wrong because the devil took an issue with God and he challenged God to allow him to come and to take these things from Job. And we find that in the space of a day that Job lost his flocks, he lost his farm, he lost his family, and later on he lost his health. And I know of no one else who has had to go through more sufferings than Job had. And yet when you come to the end of chapter 1, it says that Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. My dear friends, if I had been where Job was, I couldn't have done that. One has to stand up and be honest. But here's Job, and he has lost all these things, and all these things have gone against him. And yet he worships, and he says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And my Job, in the midst of his suffering, what he was saying was this, hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Dear friends, we cannot understand things in life. The Lord Jesus said on one occasion, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And there's things that happen in our lives and we mightn't be able to understand or find an answer to them. And maybe the hereafter will be in heaven when he brings us aside and tells us about these things. I remember in my time in the ministry, having to tell a mother that her 18-year-old son had been killed in a car crash. And that's difficult, friends. That's difficult. Talk to a father who had lost his young daughter. Sit between a young married couple, married just for 18 months, and sit between them while they divided up their belongings. Their marriage had gone. And there's so many things that folks have to go through. We can't understand them from a human point of view. There's an old hymn. I love its words. It just simply says this, not now, but in the coming years. It may be in the better land. We'll know the meaning of our tears. And there's some time we'll understand. Then the chorus says, then trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for he shall hold thy hand. Through all thy days still sing and praise. Sometime, we'll understand. Dear friends, it's good to know when you cannot understand the things that happen in life, that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He reigneth in the storms of life. He reigneth in the sufferings of life. And he reigneth in every situation in life. My, you remember Abraham was asked to sacrifice. God had given him a promise of a son. And after 25 years, that promise was kept and Isaac was born. And then God came to Abram and he said, listen, Abram, I want you to take Isaac, your son, and offer him up on the altar for a burnt offering that I shall tell thee of. And Abram was being asked to give his son, his only son. You know, friends, Abram didn't argue with God. He didn't rebel against God. He accepted God's will. And it tells us that by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, believing that God was able to raise him from the dead. One thinks of Elijah. He faced shortage. Many people are facing shortage today. Remember, the famine came. God brought him down to the brook Cherith, commanded the ravens to feed him there. They brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And God was supplying his need. And then the next verse says in 1 Kings 17, and the brook dried up. The brook dried up. The brook didn't dry up overnight. I'm sure that Elijah could see it gradually getting slower and slower and slower and then becoming just a trickle, but it dried up. But Elijah never moved until God told him to go to the widow of Zarephath, because Elijah believed God. He knew that the Lord was in control. One could go on this morning with Moses, surrounded with problems. And yet we find that in all these situations, these men believed that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Dear friends, there's many situations we find ourselves in life. Maybe you have problems. Maybe you're going through trials. Maybe you have needs this morning. Maybe yours is a health problem. Maybe yours is a financial problem or a parental problem. There's so many different problems. Sometimes we feel helpless. Sometimes we feel discouraged. Sometimes we feel that we're making no headway or we're making no progress. Then we can look up and know that God is there. The God who loves us. The God who cares for us. The God who sent his Son to die for us that we might be his children forever. And we can look up by faith. And in spite of what goes on in the world today or what may happen tomorrow, my dear friends, we know that the Lord is on the throne. The God who was on the throne on the 1st of January 2013 will still be on the throne on the 31st of December 2013. So we can face the future today. And we can say, hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Thank God he does. Where would we be if he didn't? The sovereign Lord who has all power is on the throne. May we learn to trust him and put our hand in his in the year that lies ahead. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the little phrases that we find at times in your word. We thank you for these little treasures and nuggets of truth. And we thank you, Lord, for the assurance that they bring to us and the comfort they give us. And we do thank you this morning, Lord, for who thou art, the Lord God omnipotent. And we praise you that you reign in the kingdoms of men. And so we pray that you would lead us and draw us closer to thee and help us to bow to the one that's on the throne and to put our hand in thine and trust thee in the coming days for Christ.